أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ذرني ومن خلقت وحيدا وجعلت له مالا ممدودا وبنين شهودا ومهدت له تمهيدا صدق الله العظيم. Yesterday we started the discussion of this person known as Walid ibn Mughira, who was an arch enemy of our Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was affected positively by the words of the Quran Kareem, but yet Iman did not enter his heart. We were discussing his dialogue with Abu Jahl. We continue from there. After Abu Jahl had made the allegation that the people of Makkah are collecting these funds for you because you went to the house of Abu Bakr in search of food, so the people perceive that you are a pauper, and now they are putting their funds together so that they may be able to maintain you. At that time, Walid ibn Mughira responded and he said that perhaps I have more wealth than the cumulative wealth of the people of Makkah. Abu Jahl then began to discuss the effect of the Quran on the heart of Walid ibn Mughira. And Walid ibn Mughira and Abu Jahl goes into a discussion that the dilemma of the people of Makkah were basically two. One was the akhlaq, the character, the personality, the conduct, the trait of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that noble qualities that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam possessed, insofar as his honesty, his trustworthiness, his integrity was concerned. On the other hand, the kindness and compassion that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, people were naturally attracted to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that was basically the one dilemma that they had with regards to Islam, was the personality of our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second dilemma that they were facing was the nature of this Quran. That when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or for that matter, anyone would recite the Quran, that positive effect that the Quran will have on the hearts of people. The people of Makkah were being taken aback by these beautiful words of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Like a magnet, they were being attracted towards the Quran Sharif. And this is what the leaders of the Quraysh did not want, that people be either attracted to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or they be attracted to the words of the Quran Sharif, and then they accept Islam. So there was some way that we have to put a stop to this. So when Abu Jahl proposed this, then Walid ibn Mughira began to ponder and he began to think. Then he asked Abu Jahl, is it possible for you to say that, wa na'udhu billah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is insane, that whatever he's saying is a result of insanity, he's a mad person? So look at the reply of Abu Jahl, simple, la wallahi, no, it can never be, qasam of Allah. He takes that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not an insane person, and these words are not a result of anybody's insanity. Then Walid ibn Mughira asked him the second question, that would you say that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a soothsayer, is a fortune teller, that by some way he has knowledge and he is giving this knowledge over to the people, some kind of jinn has approached him, and that jinn informs him about the happenings, and now he is relating those happenings to the people. Is he a soothsayer? Abu Jahl again responds, la wallah, in his heart, in Abu Jahl's heart also, he was also tremendously affected by the Quran, but yet he did not bring Iman, and hence even soothsaying was not possible. Number three, is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by chance a poet? He never had said any poetry like the habit of the Quraysh was that at that time, that they would have these great challenges in so far as poetry is concerned. Never did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go forth onto any podium and challenge anyone in saying any kind of poetry. So they also knew that he was not a poet. And Abu Jahl's response was, La wallah. Now, Walid ibn Mughira began to think, how are we going to categorize this? How are we going to categorize Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and this kitab, this Quran, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What can we say to the people to stop them from accepting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And hence, he begins to suggest that perhaps we can say that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a magician. Based only on one fact, that when he recites these words, knowing full well that these words are beyond the words of man, it is beyond this world, it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing full well that fact, but just because when a person is affected by the Quran, he accepts Iman and Islam, then his family ostracizes him, and then he is separated from his family. So, in order to beguile the people, they said that this Quran is such a magic, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such a magician, that the utterance of these words create a separation between man and his wife, because now the man becomes a Muslim, his family ostracizes him, his family members don't want to see him, so it creates a separation between individuals and families, and hence that can only be the work of a magician. And now they decided that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will be told to the people that he is a magician. But the important aspect about all this was that Walid ibn Mughira made those comments about the sweetness of the Quran, the comfort and the pleasure that the Quran gives, the far-reaching consequences or far-reaching results of the Quran that has a positive impact on a person. Abu Jahl had known, had said the same, and hence now from here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala begins to speak about Walid ibn Mughira and his opposition against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَرْنِي وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا. Leave me to deal with that person who I had created alone. Now every human being that comes into this world would come alone. He would not come with any wealth. He would not come with any other thing. But a human being comes alone out of the womb of his mother. But here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes particular mention of wahida, that he comes alone. While some commentators say that the possibility was that he was the only son of his mother, but most of them have said that he was so engrossed and he was so intoxicated in his arrogance that he used to say, I am al-wahid ibn al-wahid. I am the unique, the son of the unique. In other words, I am only one, because Allah had given him everything, like we will discuss. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this word wahid to show that he was alone, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had granted him a tremendous amount of resource, and hence that had created this arrogance and that intoxication of arrogance in his mind. وَجَعَلْتُ لَهُ مَالًا مَمْدُودًا. And I, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we had made for him, in other words, we had given him a tremendous amount of wealth, an excessive amount of wealth, which we discussed yesterday, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had given him every kind, every form of wealth in abundance. وَبَنِينَ شُهُودًا. And we had given him sons, or we had given him children that were always shuhud. They were always standing by him. They were always in his midst. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show that Allah had given him so much that his slaves used to go out for his trade, that they were also so faithful to him, so loyal to him, so honest to him, that his own children didn't have to do that. They would remain next to him All the time at his beck and call, some have stated he had 13 sons, and others, like Abdullah ibn Abbas, says a minimum of 10 sons at least have been counted of Walid ibn Mughira. Now today, when a person has an abundance of children, it is taken as something that is not good, not liked in our community. But in the people of the past, and rightfully so, they were very proud of having a large number of children. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about here. وَمَهَّدْتُ لَهُ تَمْهِيدًا. And we had granted him, or we had prepared for him, every form of comfort. When it came to wealth, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had given him a tremendous amount of wealth. His children and family were tremendous in amounts. And then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had also given him honor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him rank. The people of Makkah would come to him for the adjudication of their matters. So in every form, we had given him every kind of honor and every kind of comfort and luxury. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us understanding. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu.